For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48. The concern of the prophecy is that the Lord here points out that the children of Israel were using the name of God. They were worshiping that name supposedly and swearing by God's name, but actually dishonoring God's name. And God confronts them with his own name and shows that his name is revealed by what he does, and in fact his own dealings with them, that it is actually for his own name's sake that he was preserving them and dealing with them as he was. Isaiah 48. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass, because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens when I call unto them. They stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him. He shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleaved the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. We read that far in God's word. And consider now the Lord's Day 47. Lord's Day 47. It asks, which is the first petition? Hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. A couple of things bring to your attention this morning by way of introduction. The first is a reminder that prayer is part of our fellowship with God, that like walking with God, that is obedience to the law of God, so also we communicate with God, we speak to God, and prayer is the biblical word that is used for that form of fellowship with God that we have as his friends. That indicates all by itself there is a relationship to the law of God that we were instructed in earlier, and now prayer, which we are being instructed in, and that both speak to our fellowship with the Almighty God in his covenant of grace. Not only that, but there is therefore also a reflection of the law even in prayer. You all know that the law is broken into two tables, the first which speaks of the duties that we owe toward God and the other toward the neighbor. Similarly, prayer, as it is taught here in the Lord's Prayer, is divided into two distinct parts. The first concerns God. The petitions are about God and concern God, even as does the first table of the law. Another thing we take note of by way of introduction is that prayer, in the main, is petitionary. It does honor God. It is a form of worship. That does not mean to say that we mainly only ask God for things. Nevertheless, prayer itself takes on a petitionary form, and that's evident even here, where what we have to say, what we speak of clearly is a form of worship, clearly has to do with the praise and honoring of God's name. And yet, it's put in the form of a petition, a petition. That doesn't mean that if we would simply pray to God and praise his name and glorify him, that that would be wrong. There's many, many prayers in scriptures where that's done, so that's not true. So why is this subject matter, which clearly could have been put in the form of praise and honor, much like the address of God, our Father which art in heaven, why is it put in the form of a question or a petition? Because that itself reminds us of what kind of friends we are with God. It speaks to that relationship. Although friends, we are always His servants. He alone is God. We are His subjects. And so our speech toward Him and our speech with Him will then take on the form of those in need, those who require and need something from their Lord and Master. And that's the case here, even with this petition about God's name. We are asking for something that we need. So consider with me this morning the request for God's name, and we're going to look at the two main points of the Lord's Day as our two main points of the sermon, that this is a request, therefore, to know God's name by faith, and secondly, to honor God's name by our life. When we look at this first petition, there is so much to learn. We, for example, here are making a request about God's name, that that name be hallowed. And yet, when you look at the explanation, what does that mean? It's explained in the two parts that will be the two parts of the sermon, but it has to do with us. Now, that simply affirms what was said in the introduction, that this request, although it concerns God's name, concerns a real need that we have. That's important for us to recognize, because that explains why so often prayers so often have many requests for oneself, but very little about God. Listen to the prayers that you often hear around you, or even take some time to examine your own prayers sometime, and you will find that, number one, we frequently omit prayer, forget about prayer, do not engage in it as we ought. And one reason why that often is because we're really only concerned about what we consider to be our needs. And if we aren't in any particular danger or immediate need, well, then we don't see the need to pray. But that changes when one recognizes, no, I need the name of God to be honored, and I need that as my very first, most important petition. It's the first one I ought to make, the first one I ought to be concerned about. All the other petitions that I might have concerning myself are subordinate to that. It's important for us to recognize that the Catechism is pointing out this is our first, foremost, and most fundamental need in prayer. And failure to understand that explains why we so often either do not pray as we ought, or when we pray, our prayers have the form that they do. They're mainly requests only for what I think I need, and most of those needs, if we categorize them, will be all about earthly daily bread, getting healthy, getting better, dealing with this or that earthly physical problem. No, prayer begins with God and concerns God right from the outset. The key to understanding why this request concerns God and yet is a real need is understanding how it is that God answers this prayer. Now, the prayer itself, strictly speaking, is about God. Hallowed be thy name. But ask yourself the question, Does God's name in and of itself need to be hallowed? Answer is no, not really. God's name is hallowed whether we make the prayer or not, whether we hallow it or not. God is a holy God, and his name is holy. Whether we recognize it or not, whether man blasphemes it or not, God's name is holy. So what are we really praying for? And the Catechism nails it. What we're praying when we pray that God's name be hallowed is that God do something. And God do something to us, that God grant us or give us something so that his name is hallowed by us. The petition, and therefore the need, is that we hallow his name. And by making this request, we recognize that there is nothing in me whatsoever that cares anything about God's name whatsoever. You see, there's the other part of the problem. Not only do we fail to recognize the great need that I and you hallow God's name. That's a real need, but it's a real need exactly because that is not in us in any form by nature. And we will not recognize it unless we look closely at what we're asking then to be hallowed, and then the two ways that we expect God to answer, namely that he grant us, notice it's a prayer, he grant us to rightly know him a certain way, and then secondly that he grant us, that he grant that we so order our lives a certain way. Now, first of all, we have to recognize that the name of God and the hallowing of that name is most important. You would be shocked, perhaps amazed, if you actually took some time to study the scriptures and see the significance of the name of God in the scriptures. Should have noticed that already in the catechism. If you take out your catechism and you start looking at it, you're going to see that there's no less than five Lord's days that are pretty much dedicated to explaining the name of God, so that the subject matter from a certain viewpoint isn't new at all. In Lord's Day 12, we learned we're members of Jesus Christ by faith, so that what? We are saved? So that we go to heaven, so that we enjoy the blessings of salvation. So what? So why? What is the great deal about being a member of Christ by faith? So that we may confess his name. There. Why did God give you faith? So that you could be saved. So you could believe. So that you could go to heaven. So that, fill in the blank, that's not the blank that the Heidelberg Catechism uses. God gave you faith so that you may confess his name. Lord's Day 26, we were baptized. Oh yes, baptized into what? Into the name of God. Baptized into the name of God. Just ask yourself a simple question. Why? And what does that say about the name of God? If the fundamental sacrament of entrance into the kingdom of heaven, if the fundamental sacrament that denotes our union with Christ is being baptized into the name of God, what does it say about the name of God? Lord's Days 36 and 37. The only commandment that has really two Lord's Days dedicated to it is on what? The name of God. One whole commandment dedicated to the name of God and the explanation of it in the catechism, and then says there's nothing more heinous to God than the profaning of his name. Did we forget that already? Nothing more heinous than that God's name not be hallowed and instead blasphemed. We need to keep that in mind as we consider this Lord's Day, Lord's Day 52, which is going to be the last one, obviously, and the whole catechism points out that all this we pray, everything we're going to pray for, everything we're learning about in prayer is so that God's name, and then it even adds this, and not our name, not my name, not your name, but God's name be glorified forever and ever. Now let's compare that to what we often think of God's name, and then the names of everybody else. How much time did we spend last week honoring the name of God versus honoring everybody else's name? Precious little. It's an important subject in Holy Scripture. It is interesting that before the flood, the seed of the woman, the elect that is, were known by one thing. That which differentiated them from the entire world that would soon be destroyed in the flood was that they called on the name of God. That was what set them apart. That's what made them so visibly the children of God. They called on the name of God. Over and over in Scripture, the name of God comes up when he's going to deliver the people of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. Then Moses has to tell the people the name of God that's doing this. Jesus himself, as part of the gospel, reminds again and again, I come in my Father's name. Reminds them, the work that I do is in my Father's name. Even before he dies, just before he dies, his concern in John 17 is the name of God and that the name of God be glorified in his own death. Why is that? Because the name of God simply represents God. The name of God is simply the revelation of God, and the revelation of God by all his words and works. The invisible, spiritual God, otherwise unknown to us, decides to reveal himself, and reveal himself by certain actions and certain words. And those actions and words are his name. One of the most evil and wicked ways the name of God is being blasphemed today, right even in the church, where the name of God supposedly is supposed to be hallowed and where everybody is even using that name and swearing by that name, as Israel of Israel did of old. Nothing new under the sun. The church today continues to do the same things the church in the Old Testament did before God brought them into bondage of Babylon. What is that? Use the name of God, sing the name of God, swear by the name of God, and then blaspheme that name. How do they do that? Well, deny the works of God or the words of God. That's why God pointed out many, many times, and Jesus pointed out many, many, many times, you stubborn and stiff-necked people, how so? Well, I send my prophets, and my prophets declare my name, and they show forth my praise, and what do? You laugh them, you scorn them, and you kill them. Same thing's going on today. God's word is clear. God's name is revealed in his creation. What does the church do today? God didn't make that creation. There was a big bang, blew up, and through random chance and natural selection, we have the human race today. God didn't make that creation. God's not in charge of wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence. Those are just disasters, natural disasters. It's just Mother Nature. It's just the way things are. And that's the church. God's name is his work of creation. Simply open the scriptures and see time and time again how God associates his name with that great work that he made the heavens and the earth. It was in our call to worship this morning. O Lord, our Lord, we read in Psalm 8, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens, that is, the heavens that he made. Psalm 19, verse 1, that we sang, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 75, verse 1, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. But God didn't really make the heavens and the earth. Not as we read in his word, as written by his servant Moses in the book of Genesis. God didn't really say that, didn't really mean what he said. Do you hear the blasphemy? Do you hear the dishonoring of God's name? And there's countless so-called Christians who claim to be baptized in the name of God that don't care at all that name is blasphemed in their very hearing. And then, of course, there's even the greater work of God in salvation. That's how God's name is honored, by giving God the honor and praise for that salvation. Who works salvation? Who does God say works salvation? Is there any part, any aspect, any blessing, anything pertaining to salvation that man works? And the answer is no, there isn't. Anything that man does, anything that man thinks, anything that man believes is the work of God. And that's how his name is honored and praised, but instead it's dishonored. You see, man doesn't care about God's name. We don't care about God's name. Let's be honest about that, lest we be full of pride and say, well, I believe God made the word, the world, like he says in Genesis, and I believe the truth of God that we find in Ephesians 2, verse 8, that all salvation is the work of God. So I'm free from that. No, we're not. What did you do last week? How did you spend your time? When did you open your mouth? When were you happy? When were you sad? Just examine it. Was it over the name of God or everybody else's name and your name and my name? And the answer is the latter. You know as well as I do, we spent far, far more time in the interest of man's name and man's honor and man's glory. That's what thrilled our hearts and our souls. That's what got us excited or depressed if it wasn't done the way that we thought it ought to be done. But God's name, how often do we even think when something maybe bad happened to us? That my hand, my life is in God's hand. That God was in control even of that thing that caused me pain and grief. Or did we secretly curse God for what happened? Or wished it were another way? Now, when we talk about God's name and the hallowing of it, remember what that means. This is important. Hallowing means to sanctify or make holy. That's simply what the word means. The Bible makes that very, very clear. Leviticus 22:32, neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. And then if you go on to say, what does that mean? You're going to see that it means to make it holy or to sanctify it. They mean the same thing. Sanctify means to make holy. What does it mean? Well, it's not a difficult concept. I explain it to the young people in catechism this way. It's to take what might seem to be ordinary and common and to completely set it apart as from everything ordinary and common. So, for example, we have the Holy Bible. The word Bible means book. And what the word Holy Bible or Holy Book means, it's unlike any other book. There's no book like the Bible. There's only one Bible, only one that can be called holy. You mayn't treat it like you treat every book. You mayn't read it like you read every other book. Or holy baptism, sacrament of holy baptism. Baptism simply means to apply water, sprinkle it, dunk it, doesn't matter. It can be used as a term to take a shower or a bath, to clean dishes, baptize. It's not a very special word in and of itself, but holy baptism now, that's different. Holy baptism is a different thing. Now it's a sacrament. Now we're talking about the application of water by an ordained minister in the name of God himself. And it symbolizes, it's a picture, a sign, and a seal of the great application of the Spirit to us. Or take the Holy Day, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. We talked about this then. There's 7 days in a week from a certain viewpoint. The Sabbath is no different than any other day. It's a day. It's a 24-hour period. But it's a holy day, which means it's set apart from all those other days. And it's set apart by our behavior. It's set apart by what we do. It's set apart by our attitude. It's set apart by God himself, who did certain things on that day to make clear that it wasn't like any other day. Every other day, go work and play, but not on that day. Now, God's name is unlike every other name, any other name, and it needs to be set apart from every other name completely, entirely. You don't speak it like every other name. You don't honor it like every other name. In fact, the real idea is the same as the first commandment. Love the Lord thy God. How? Have no other gods beside me. And we saw when we covered that commandment. That doesn't mean that you're allowed to have God and then a bunch of other little gods. So that as long as God is bigger than the other gods, or God is first among all the other gods, then you're keeping the first commandment. No. Have no other gods beside me means have no other gods. Period. Just me. That's it. Period. And we need to examine ourselves in that regard. When we read, hallowed be that name, thy name, it means that's the only name we hallow. That's the only name. There's no other name we hallow. God's name. God's name is the name we praise. God's name is the name on our lips. God's name is the one we're concerned about. No other one. Not one. Not yours, not mine, not your neighbor's, nobody's. If our names are to be lifted up in any way whatsoever, it's going to be through the hallowing of God's name. We saw that too, echoed in the law. That our well-being is entirely connected to God's name. Now, when we make this request that God's name is hallowed, there's two ways we expect God to hear it, hear our prayer, and grant us something. The first is that we might rightly know God, and then to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works. Now, don't need to explain that last part too much. We just talked about that. God's name is in his works. That's the emphasis there. In his works, we may include his words. God's name is imprinted all over the Bible. That's his name. Dishonor the word of God, you dishonor his name. Hold that thought. But it's in his works that we see the attributes of God. His power, his wisdom, his goodness, his justice, and his truth are clearly displayed. They're all there. Passage that we read, we saw God's faithfulness. For my namesake, because of my namesake, I haven't cut you off. You want to know why you weren't cut off? You deserved it, especially after what you do to my name. But because of my namesake, because of who I am, I'm not going to do that. There, God reveals his faithfulness to his own name, whereas we're unfaithful to his name. But now, notice it means to rightly know that. Now, what's it talking about? The answer there, it's talking about believing. The knowledge there is the knowledge of faith. The right knowledge of God is the knowledge of faith. Faith whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed in his word. See that? See how it follows? But now ask yourself, how do I rightly know God? How do I rightly sanctify, glorify, and praise God in all his works in which his power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed? Where would I do that? How would I do that? And the answer is by faith in Christ. If you ask yourself, what is the one great way the child of God honors and glorifies the name of God, that is, sanctifies the name of God, hallows it? How is that done? And the answer is by faith in Jesus Christ. And that should make all kinds of sense to us. Why? Well, if the name of God is the revelation of Him, what's the one great revelation of God in all the world? Oh, yes, there's creation. Oh, yes, there's the Holy Scriptures. There's the Word of God's power imprinted all over the creation that speaks to His power and His majesty. There's the Holy Scriptures by which He speaks to us. Thus saith the Lord. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the perfect revelation of the triune God. He is the perfect image of God. And He's come to us in our flesh exactly to reveal God and say, here He is. The Scriptures make clear to us there is no knowledge of God. There is no right knowledge of God except through Jesus Christ. There's a certain knowledge of God that can be seen in the creation. But it's not a right, that is a saving knowledge of God. It is amazing how often that's brought out in Scriptures. Just think about this. Notice how the Scriptures attribute all the works of God specifically to the Son of God in Jesus Christ. Colossians 1. Listen. For the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, is Christ. For all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things. By Him all things consist. He is the head, the body, the church, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell. When you pray, therefore, that God's name be hallowed, you're praying that God's name specifically be hallowed in the name and person of Jesus Christ, the name of God. He bears that name Himself, Jesus. And especially then, by honoring the salvation that was obtained and distributed by Jesus Christ through the Spirit. That's what we're praying. Not, well, you know, I know I'm saved, or I know a lot of stuff about salvation because I had some catechism for a long time. That's good enough. Again, why is our prayer life so lacking? The reason is we don't understand our need to know God more and more and more and more through faith in Jesus Christ. He's the great revelation of God. He's the great name of God that accomplishes our salvation. He's the great name of God that is declared in the Word on every single page. Now, secondly, when we make this prayer, we're asking God to grant something else, not just that we believe. Take note of that. Perhaps a lot of Christians right there that would say, well, I don't need to make this prayer because I already believe. I have faith. No. Exactly because you have faith, you ought to make the petition. Do you know all there is to know about the power and the wisdom and the greatness of God? Answer is, of course not. Our problem is we think, well, we know enough. We know enough. But that belies a wrong understanding. Enough for what? Enough for what? Well, enough to please God, enough to say, well, that's good enough for heaven. You see, there's the problem. You can never know enough about God. It's why God made us. God made us to hallow His name. Can you ever go to God and say, that's enough? I know enough. I know enough. No, you can't. That's dishonoring of Him. That's blasphemous to Him. He is an infinite, infinite God with infinite, infinite virtues to adore and glorify and praise, even in heaven, even in the new creation, when we're in this amazing new creation that God will make. We're going to spend every day of our lives living in that creation, glorifying, that is, hallowing the name of God over and over. But there's more. That God grant that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, so that Thy name is not blasphemed in our account, but instead honored and praised. Notice that. It's a prayer for faith.
and that by faith we rightly know God, but that's not the end. Child of God understands, I need to have my life ordered. It needs to be directed in the whole life, not just on Sunday, not just for an hour in church. Maybe that's why so many of us miss church or fall asleep in church. We don't recognize that we need God to hallow His name by so ordering and direct our lives that doesn't happen. But notice, God has to grant that. Let's not minimize that, people of God, that one of the chief ways that God's name is hallowed in this world, in this creation, is when His children walk according to His commandments, when they walk according to His will. That's when the church is persecuted and scorned and ridiculed, even as Jesus was. And recognize that we aren't going to do that. You aren't interested in ordering and directing your lives according to the will of God. We're not interested in that. My thoughts are mine. I'll do with my thoughts what I want. I'll say what I want. I'll do what I want. Or I'll bring them into some sort of outward conformity so I can pat myself on the back and think that that's good enough too. No. God's name is hallowed when there's a church. And there's people of God in the world that say, this is truth, and that's a lie. When they stand up and they say, that's vile iniquity and sin. That's not the will of God. And when they themselves live that way. And remember, according to the Catechism, it's one or the other. That if we're not actively praising and honoring God's name with all our life, our thoughts, our words, and our actions, then we're blaspheming. You see, we can't even look at our own life that way. Well, this is my time. These are my 3 hours. I paid $200 for these tickets. I'll do with it what I want. I'll cheer men for a while. I'll get excited about that for a while. So much so that when I come to church, then I'll fall asleep, or I'm too tired. Maybe that's because if we make this petition, the real meaning of it and the understanding of it just isn't there. Do we truly recognize, beloved people of God, that it is not in you, it is not in me to honor God's name, to hallow it? It's just not there. And we just fool ourselves again and again, so much so that we either just take this petition on our lips without a thought, or we just don't even bother. And then we complain and complain because God's heavy hand is on us, chastising us, virtually screaming at us to return unto Him. Grant, Lord, that we, that I, that you may so order and direct my and your whole life, not just the part of life that perhaps you say you can give to God, and then not even on the whole Sabbath, but for an hour or so in church, and if it's much longer than that, I don't have more time, but all the week, all the Sabbath, and not just some thoughts when I'm reading the Bible, but all my thoughts. And not just some of my actions now and then, but all my actions. Honor and praise the name of God. Because that's the petition. And you see, there's only one thing that would move us to do that. Everything I said won't make any difference whatsoever, unless we're moved to do that. And what there's really only one thing that would move us to do that, and that is if you see what God has done for you, whether that name means anything. It's evident to all God has made the creation. That should be enough. It's evident to all, even the ungodly, what God's law is and how He must be served in worship, but no one cares about that. But if now you know God and Jesus Christ, that's an entirely different thing, isn't it? You see, anyone that knows God and the name of God and that great name, Jesus Christ, cannot help but love Him. That's God's very work. That's God's very revelation. God in Jesus Christ puts His love in our hearts. He sheds it abroad. And so again, you have the connection here to what we learn in the law of God. True love for God loves His name and therefore prays for His name. It's the very first concern in prayer, not, Lord, I'm going to have surgery next Thursday and I'd like to make it through. Or I'd like to be healed of this disease, or I'd like to have a good job. No. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, O Lord, it is our prayer together, which is contrary to our flesh, but according to thy Spirit, that thy name be hallowed, and that thou wilt hallow thy name. Make it holy, make it great and glorious to us by granting first that we rightly know that name, that we rightly know that name, especially as it is revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness, the one who bore all the burden, all the shame, all the punishment we deserve for our blasphemy. And hallow thy name also, O Lord, by granting that we order and direct our lives, our whole lives, to honor and praise thee, our God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.